flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Let's go! Yeah!
You're listening to The Best of the Patriots. A weekly mix of WEEI's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
ESPN now jumping on board and suggesting officially this morning that Josh McDaniels will return home, will take it back to his roots, and will be the next offensive coordinator of the New England Patriots.
Courtney nailed it. She had been on that since the Vrabel thing.
How do you feel about it?
I mean, I don't have an issue with it. And he did a good job with Mac Jones his rookie year, and I think I know that Drake May's ceiling is much higher than Mac Jones. I mean, people, you know, tended to knock him a little bit because he was Brady's OC, and then he went to some other places and didn't have the same success. But
so, meaning that anybody could have been, our guy Shime, for instance, could have been successful as an offensive coordinator with Tom Brady as your quarterback.
Yeah, especially like, you know, as Brady continued to get into his career, I think a lot of people would say that about Josh McDaniels. But I think he did a good job with Mac Jones. So, you know, he's innovated. Are there some calls that we watch him in games are like, Josh, really? 3rd and 5 and you're running a toss? But that's, I feel like that's every OC.
But now you have two guys that have been hired or going to be hired that you feel comfortable with, you feel confident in. I'm very confident in Mike Vrabel. So if Mike Vrabel thinks that Josh McDaniels is the right choice, knowing his history, knowing his history here and elsewhere, then I'm all on board. I know that this is going to be a big topic for Shime this morning. I believe he said he was going to crash out on the show.
Oh, wow.
That was verbatim, yes.
Wow.
Is that a lack of sugar thing, or
it feels like somebody stole my French toast the way I feel today.
Never good when you crash out.
Freedom toast.
Very scary.
Sorry, freedom toast.
Are you waiting until your lead, or are you? When will you be crashing?
Yeah, I'm allowing the kettle to continue to boil and whistle, and I will pour it out during my lead.
Okay.
This is great news, Greg. It's not outside the box, but who cares? He's a guy. The big concern with Drake May is that a young up-and-coming coordinator would come in 1 or 2 years with success, leave. Josh McDaniels, if he's successful, is not getting another head coaching job in the NFL. So this gives you the opportunity to have head coach Mike Vrabel worry about special teams, defense, the general roster vibe, and Josh McDaniels can be your coach of the offense. Mm-hmm. I think it's a great move.
Yeah, we're running it back.
He is Billy from Andover approved, as we learned on the show last week.
Yep.
Would you guess?
All sheep.
Would you get? That sounded more like a Billy Goat. Like I
don't know. It's labeled as sheep baa in the sound effects folder.
Let it rip! Let it rip again, if you could. No, I mean. That's not.
Everyone really called me a sheep, and I was baaing.
Yeah. Is that better?
That's true. Thank you, Dr. Fauci.
Was he the choice of the Crafts or the choice of Mike Vrabel, or does it not matter at this point?
You know, I think that it's probably the choice of both of them. I think the people that are going to be like, well, all right, isn't this like, you know, Bill Belichick 2.0. I think those are the people that are going to be a little bit, not completely upset, but a little bit of like disappointed in the sense like you could have just kept Bill if you were going to go down this road. So
But well, I think what they wanted was everything that Bill brought to the table,
right?
Minus one thing only,
yes.
and that was Bill.
Yeah,
so
yes.
if they could get rid of Bill,
right,
and keep everything else about him and everything else that was around him and everybody that was a part of his system,
right.
Then that was the perfect scenario.
It's like Bill's recipe.
Did you guys see?
Tables have turned.
Yeah.
Did you guys see who Vrabel just hired as GM? Mike Lombardi. I thought that was a... I mean, well, none of these guys have done anything without the most important position and the best player at it, candidly. So if Drake May is great, then they'll all look like geniuses. If he's not, they'll be out of a job in 2 years.
Chime, little criticism for you on the Subaru of New England text line. Do you want it or...
Sure, fire away. Okay. Feed the fire, Greg.
I need a douche move ruling on Scheim. This is a 401 text from the Rhode Island, the Ocean State. Ever since he's lost weight and got engaged, he is a know-it-all brat.
Oh, that's kind of a good point.
I've only been engaged for like 2 weeks.
Kind of a good point.
Courtney's
on. She's co-signing that.
Well, I think everybody should be heard.
Yeah, who do you want to have? I mean, I guess we can wait for your lead, but like, who's the brilliant offensive mind that's out there that they declined?
This is a Ben Johnson thing for you mostly, right?
No, it's not a Ben Johnson thing. It's a you people are sheep and you can't see the wool being pulled over your eyes.
Okay.
Once again.
Well, already. I can't wait.
What happened to that exhaustive list Vrabel told you about, Greg? I thought this was going to be a nice long process. The Jets have done more interviews for their head coaching job than you did for your OC and head coaching job combined.
He already knew who he was going to get. Yeah,
right. Also, a part of that is nobody wants the Jets job.
That's fair.
That's a part of it.
They offered it to Aaron Glenn, and he walked out the door.
Who's the better head coach, Aaron Glenn or Mike Vrabel?
Probably Vrabel.
Okay, so then who cares how many people they interview?
Well, I don't think this was Vrabel's choice, Curtis. It's kind of the point.
You think
who's a better coach, Aaron Glenn or Terry Glenn?
Ooh, RIP.
Come on, RIP, RIP.
All right, let's get to Frank from Cape Coral, Florida. Hello, Frank.
Good morning, Greg. How you doing?
What's up?
This weather is unbelievable. I've been down here almost 6 years since North Jersey, and it's 42 degrees and raining with 25-mile-per-hour winds.
Do you have snow? Do you have snow there or not that far down?
No. Not in Cape Coral, but this is up more like the Panhandle in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
So that's obviously a 5-hour drive from here. But no, it's just insane. I don't know what else to say. But Curtis, you know, you nailed it. You know, people have no idea what they're talking about in government about weather. But what a surprise, right?
That's why I always listen to Curtis. Yeah. And I mean,
last Friday, not to toot my own horn, but I told Courtney and Wiggy while you were flying down to a Hobnob in South Beach that we were getting 3 inches of snow in Boston. Everybody from that point forward had, what's with the ever-changing snow map? Have some balls and stick to what you predict. Don't change it every 20 minutes on the Channel 4 news. How am I supposed to trust anybody who just goes with the whim of the moment? Anyway.
Is there a fellow weather smoke that you admire?
Oh,
is
yeah.
Is it Reiner?
No, it's Bruce Schwegler.
Oh, the great Bruce. Speaking of, is he still with us?
I hope so. God love him.
Total and utter Hillman Jinx scenario if Bruce Schwegler is not with us. But I thought it was Reiner. I thought you and
Well,
Reiner
he's a contemporary. Let's not go crazy here. Okay. I mean, I'm Mahomes, he's Lamar.
What about Bob's friend in Maine, too, that weather man?
Oh, Pumpkin Crack, that crazy guy. Very nice gentleman.
Nice guy. Yeah, great guy.
Wasn't there a weather woman in Rhode Island, too?
Springfield. She was just at the pizza place.
No.
She's
a weather person.
Oh.
Yeah. You mean the everyday regular listener of this show?
Right.
Yeah, I thought she did news.
Yeah, she was slipping on the ice of Courtney's ring at lunch. I think I've never seen a face like drop.
Oh, Courtney has a beautiful ring.
Thank it you. Is. That's very nice, Wiggy.
You're welcome.
Wow.
We're off to a great start today.
You two going to try to get along today?
Yeah.
Wiggy's going to be nice.
I'm always nice.
Wiggy's going to try to be nice to you.
No, I just state some facts. I mean, she does have very beautiful ring. I bet a lot of women would probably be like, ooh, I would need to see your man who gave you that. Yeah. Ain't that what they say?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know. Nothing wrong with it. So who do we think the defensive coordinator is going to be? That's going to be somebody completely new.
No, I think it's going to be Romeo Crennel.
I think it's going to be somebody we've seen before. I think he's going to run it back, yeah.
You do?
Yep. Like with who, though? Like who?
I don't know why. I just feel like a Brian Flores keeps popping into my mind.
They seem to be targeting the Lions assistant, Terrell Williams.
Okay. He's new.
So that would be somebody who hasn't been here, but he is on the Vrabel tree.
Right.
Because he worked for Mike Vrabel in Tennessee, I believe, Shyam. Am I right about that?
He might have. I'll double check that.
I believe he did. So that seems to be.
So the offense, the defensive guy is going to really have the only connection. The defensive guy will have connection to Vrabel and other places.
If they did, and I'm not going to rule out Flores. I'm with Courtney. If they did bring back McDaniels in part because he's being paid by the Raiders still, and they use that extra money on Flores to round out their staff, that would be one of the best staffs in the NFL. If you had Brian Flores, who I think is a top three coordinator at the bare minimum, I think he could still be a good coach in the NFL. With McDaniels and Vrabel, then the only thing you need is an actual GM, and maybe that guy from the Giants is that guy, so you have your full roster.
Why would Flores take a lateral job to New England where the team is not nearly as good or as talented?
It's all about money.
Isn't there a rule in the NFL, like, if you can't go lateral, wouldn't they have
to... But you have to get more money.
Have to get a promotion.
They'd have to give him the assistant head coach or something like that.
Mike Vrabel seems like a guy who would like you to bring in an associate head coach.
I think Mike Vrabel is so confident in who he is.
Yep.
It doesn't matter.
He's making $15 million a year. What does he care?
And Mike Vrabel,
how would you feel if we brought in an associate weather person?
Start our relationship with Stiz sitting on my lap, so we'll see how it goes.
I mean, Stiz Grimey has elevated himself to the smack dab in the middle of the afternoon show.
He gave us two roles, no one better than Stiz.
Nobody I like more than Stiz. Awkward start to the relationship, but he is a supportive, good guy, and he works his ass off.
I got two roles.
And Vrabel, the one thing, I mean, I'm not 100% sure, but when he was in Tennessee as a head coach, I don't think he was a defensive play caller. So maybe he'd be cool with the role of bringing in a DC who's kind of really doing the play calling and him just overseeing everything.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
WEEI Afternoons, Andy Hart here alongside Nick Fitzy Stevens. And you heard Ian Rappaport. Oh, Nick is waving to the camera for our Twitch listeners.
Twitch.tv/BostonWEEI.
Did we just become best friends? No, but we better at least get along because we got a show to do. 2 to 6 today. First hour here, you got the Six Rings boys, Fitzy and Hart, Power Hour. And then, as always, 3 o'clock, Ted Johnson will join the fun. And lots of football talk to get to. For yet another day, because things are really coming together down 95 in Foxborough. We got Mike Vrabel. We got Josh McDaniels. We got Tyrell Williams.
Yep, Terrell.
Terrell. Terrell.
T-E-R-R-E-L-L, Terrell.
Yeah, why did I think it was David Tyrell?
Tyree. Please don't ever mention David Tyree here again. That's a dollar in the Super Bowl 42 jar.
He was part of the worst Patriots win in franchise history, right, Stiz?
That's right. Giants. Wait, hold on. Did you actually call Super Bowl 42 the worst Patriots win in history?
No, he just didn't listen.
Let's move on.
All right.
Yeah, we were talking about the worst win in history, and he chimed in with Giants, and I was like, "Effing kidding!
You know,
me?
When,
are you even
when
listening?
That, when that happened,
it's
did
part
you
of the
or
radio?
Did,
you got to listen.
Did you or did you not yell out? I bet you that MF-er never catches a pass again. And we were right because he was forced to retire the next year.
No, because I didn't think they were going to lose. Little
you didn't.
Little cynical Andy was the ultimate optimist and thought they were going to win that game until it said 0-0 and the Giants were celebrating and still didn't really understand how they lost that game. I was all in on Tom Brady and Randy Moss and our guy Josh McDaniels, who, if I'm going to be objective, I thought
it's a fine segue. Keep going. Keep
that
going.
Late drive. I don't know whether it was him or whether it was Brady, but why are we just chucking it down the field? I was ready for one of those Tom Brady beep, 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 beep. We go right down the field, and you're like, he didn't have enough time to do that.
They had
just
no
did
timeouts,
that.
Correct?
I don't care. I've seen Brady do it with no timeouts, one timeout. Remember when Belichick was talking about that's how Tom loved it? He loved, what did he love? More time and less timeouts or something? Because then he's in control. Well, he was in control, except he wasn't. He just started chucking and ducking it down the field to Moss, and then I was like, oh, my God, they're going to lose because they're not acting like themselves. They're not
even
doing what they do.
Even if 70 yards down the field with Corey Webster in double coverage over top of Moss, it goes off his fingertips.
But oh, yeah, there was a shot. Don't get me wrong.
With the way that Welker, and this is one of the things about McDaniels that we'll get to as we, of course, get to the worst best-kept secret or the best worst-kept secret in Boston, which we broke yesterday on the show, of course, radio-wise, that Josh McDaniels back is OC.
Broke.
I mean, announced. Excuse me. Yes, other people broke the news. But we announced it. We celebrated in it, and a lot of people are happy about it. But there are also some people that are not happy about it, and we'll get to that later as well. But Josh McDaniels and the game plan they had for Super Bowl 42, obviously you learn from your mistakes as you evolve and progress. That was one of his worst games until they decided to take everything underneath and on the outside that the Giants were giving them, which is why Welker's stats were going to probably lead him to be MVP of the Super Bowl had the Patriots actually won.
Oh, yeah. That gets left out of the Welker hate from Patriot Nation, yeah. You people that love to pile on Wes.
I have never once said that it was all Welker's fault they lost Super Bowl 46. Never.
So do you feel the positive momentum that is now, I think, taking hold at Gillette Stadium? And there's other hires. We talked about some of those yesterday. Vrabel guys that he's bringing in. He continues to bring in some of those guys. But the McDaniels hire is quite clearly a continuation of the Patriot dynasty, right? This is his third time through. He's been there, done that with Brady, all those things. And there is at least a small portion that says, I don't like it. Why is Robert, is this a Robert Kraft hire? And we'll get some audio from that later because I do personally believe that this may not be a Robert Kraft hire, but when he started the process, his vision was Mike Vrabel and Josh McDaniels.
So you don't believe that this was forced upon? Like,
no.
Mike Vrabel was told at contractuals, hey, BT Dubs, we're going to go through the search, but McDaniels is going to be your OC.
But right. No, I don't think it was forced upon, but I think it was suggested, like, this is what we'd like to do. This we think makes sense unless you have a better option. Mm-hmm. I don't know the exact phrasing. So they went through their interviews, right? They interviewed the Bears interim coach, Thomas Brown.
Thomas Brown.
Marcus Brady from the Chargers.
Chargers.
So
Grant Udinski.
Yeah, that one I let you say because I still struggle with that name. Udinski, who's apparently a bit of a phenom
kind
in the coaching circles.
Kind of a fancy, like he's like the new Kellen Moore, or
28?
Is he like a LaFleur?
No, I think more of almost like a McVay. People have him going places fast and furious. But they interviewed all those guys. And then they interviewed last Josh McDaniels and boom, get a deal done, slide right into the role. So I almost don't really care because my response is simple. Now, I'm biased. I said it yesterday. I like Josh. I've known Josh for a long time. I am compromised a little bit. But I'm also compromised. Was Rap Sheet lying in that cut we just played? Is Josh not one of the most accomplished offensive coordinators? No. Not that part.
Okay.
Is he not one of the best offensive coordinators of the last 10 years, 20 years in the National Football League?
Funny thing, too, about his recent failure as head coach, a second stint that definitely went worse than the first, because the first at least got off to a good start, and then things fell apart. In 2022, looking back, the Raiders did have 28 passing touchdowns, 4,300 passing yards, and 6,000 yards of total offense.
Like, he can coach offense.
They can coach. He just can't coordinate the rest of the team.
He can't run a team. He can't
Correct.
Pull people together and staff and personnel and all those things. Everything that comes on the desk of a head coach, I'm not sure I want him doing it. But if you just say, See, that guy right there, he's a quarterback. I need him to be really good. I need us to move the ball, score points, win games, do things on that side of the ball that are productive. What doesn't Josh do well? Okay, if you're a cynic, give me devil's advocate here. Because some of you people, and I put you as a face of you people out there, some of you people don't
pointed.
Love Josh and what
there
he's
are some.
Done. Okay, what does he lack? What is as a coordinator, you don't get to bring up anything that involves head coaching or any of that. What does he lack? What has he not done as a coordinator? Because when I look at it, I go, well, when he had a great quarterback, he had great offenses.
Mm-hmm.
When he had to piece it together, most times he found ways to piece it together, whether it was for a couple weeks in New England, early with Kyle Orton in Denver.
How about a whole season in New England?
The whole thing.
Three other quarterbacks not named Tom Brady. He coached to arguably one of their better seasons or got the most out of them. Michael McCorkle Jones, Cameron Jarrell Newton, and of course, Matt Castle.
So he must not be creative. Oh, wait. Some of the biggest highlights in the history of this organization in the postseason are creative calls, trick plays, different
do
things.
Do your jobs. One, two,
hey,
and
Ben
three.
Johnson, when he had a wide receiver throw in the playoffs, you know what it did? It worked.
It worked. It became one of the top five plays in organizational history.
So what does Josh McDaniels not do well? What does Josh McDaniels not bring
to
the table?
To go back and see that play again for the first time ever. Oh, what a,
are you not listening? You're really lost in your own idiocy?
I needed a drink and a cigarette for a moment there. So
what does he not do well? You people
thing.
Don't like him?
No,
what does he not do
I
well?
Like, no, some people. You need to requalify on this one. It's not we people. It's not you people. It's some people. Some people do not like Josh Williams. Okay. You have people
McDaniels
like our producer,
either.
Josh McDaniels.
Who's fine. Josh Williams? Now you're doing my thing.
You don't know Josh Williams?
Nope.
Oh, man, he's something else.
Did you go to school with him? High school, college?
Some people don't like Josh McDaniels because they think that he is, A, at times, a little arrogant, perhaps.
Oh, wait, arrogant coaches can't succeed here?
Hmm? Didn't say. Also, a little didactic, demanding.
Wait, is Vrabel not arrogant?
Very well, maybe.
He's one of the more arrogant people I've ever seen, and
okay.
I love him.
Right. We may all learn to love this, but these seem to be some of his trappings. There was an inflexibility about him, I believe, that people felt in other organizations led to his demise.
I told you no. We're not allowed to bring up head coaching.
Well, why? Then I have no issue. Oh,
he's not the head coach. What does he not do well? Why won't he be good as the offensive coordinator?
He's
what
going
is
to
his
be
baggage?
Good. He's not going to be good. He's going to be excellent
because
as the offensive coordinator.
Because for a guy who you said may not have been flexible,
mm-hmm.
he won with dink and dunk.
Mm-hmm.
He won with running the ball. Mm-hmm. He won with, F it, let's just throw bombs and kick people's asses. He won with trick plays. Mm-hmm. He won without smarting you in loopholes. Stiz in the back raising his hand. Yes, Stiz.
But shouldn't ultimately the question be, is this the guy Mike Vrabel wanted?
Not necessarily. I think that's part of the question.
Is that the most important question? Or is this,
guess
is this
what?
The best guy for the job?
If Drake May throws 40 touchdown passes and 11 interceptions next year while rushing for 800 yards and another six touchdowns.
No, I need another drink and a smoke.
And they go to the postseason, you think Mike Vrabel's going to be like, yeah, but I didn't really want him. I wanted somebody else, and I can't believe they didn't let me. No, because you'll ride the wave of success and credit to the playoffs.
If things go perfectly.
No, if things go well.
Perfectly, just well. Because
better than they've gone for, I don't know,
since
four
Josh
years.
McDaniels left?
Yes, basically since Josh left.
How about this? Try these slacks on for size, kid. The idea that maybe just with Josh McDaniels, in addition to his track record, some of the highlights when he was a coach, but more importantly, his work as OC of the NEP now thrice on the job. Guess where he's going? Aside from to the 99 for dinner or, you know, maybe to Whole Foods and, of course, Gillette Stadium. Nowhere. Because Mike LaFleur says yes to the job. He's great here for a year or two. Guess what? The LaFleur Bowl on Sunday Night Football.
Most of them.
Grant Udinski, if he's super great, it's Udinski. I looked it up, by the way. Grant Udinski.
What are you calling me?
Udinski. Grant Udinski.
Yeah.
He does really well. Guess what? There's rap sheet 2 years from now on Hello, It's Touchdowns in the
Maybe
Morning.
Maybe one, the way the NFL works these
and
days.
And in an unprecedented move, we now have the youngest coach in the history of football, Holly Gleifen-Flavin, as Grant Udinski takes over for the Los Angeles Browns.
Along those lines, I did see old friend Kyrie Thompson, formerly mm-hmm. of WEEI.com, now of NPR, I believe. He, or WBUR.
Not Patriots Radio, yes.
He tweeted something like, everybody says that one of the arguments for McDaniels is that he's not going anywhere. Well, not so fast. Isn't it possible that, you know, some NIL rich school in college in 2 years throws money at him? That's possible. They could offer. My belief
is rich.
also, he has no desire to coach at the college level. Now, maybe that changes.
What?
You know, Bill Belichick is there, but
he doesn't want to Matt Rule it and go to Nebraska and sort of start to feel himself again?
He, from what I understand, my understanding of the situation, he is a pro coach. He wants to do pro coach things. He doesn't want to deal with NILs and boosters and money and recruiting your own players and, you know, oh, I have a guy that starts at receiver, but he might transfer as soon as the season ends and I got to find another receiver. I don't get him for 2 or 3 years. I've sort of been under the understanding he wants no part of that world. So
it's more confusing than the NFL now.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's more stressful. And it's part of why you saw right up the street a coach, boom, I want to go to Green Bay. It's part of why you saw Chip Kelly coaching offense on Monday night in the title game rather than coaching his entire team, because being a head coach in college is stressful and probably not all that enjoyable at times. So I think Halfley had a comment where the only time he loved being a head coach was when on the second and fourth week of the month or whatever when the paycheck came in. Right. Like, that's how stressful life is.
It used to just be... Guys like Spurrier and Saban would make the jump from college to the pros and say, whoa, hold on a second. I like 9 to 5 in college where I can still get out for a supper or maybe go play golf. Now, all of a sudden, it's, geez, Belichick putting in 18 hours a day with the Patriots is less than I'm putting in on these programs, recruiting, NILing, and dealing with the transfer
portal.
There's
just too much. There's too much. So Josh McDaniels, I think, at least for an extended period of time, will be quite happy coaching Drake May, coaching the Patriots offense, and seeing what he can build or rebuild the third time through Foxborough. So that's where we're starting today. 617-779-7937. Are you happy with the Josh McDaniels hire? Are you happy with the Terrell Williams hire? And what are your expectations now that the coaching staff is in place? We put a poll out, and I'm going to tell you some of the results of our afternoon show Twitter poll
It's a great poll.
Unless you are Mike Vrabel, because if you're Mike Vrabel, it might put a little pressure on you, but pressure is inherent in head coaching job on an NFL team.
How wouldn't Drake May be excited about Josh McDaniels? I don't know. Sam Bradford? Maybe that's one way.
Yeah, I don't know.
Keith, you illustrated that last week. Yeah, the Broncos.
The Broncos run. Cam Newton.
Ditching the Colts at the 23rd hour, Cam Newton, yeah. Jarrett Stidham.
Drake May's going to say all the right things, though. I mean, he loved Alex Van Pelt. Every time anybody asked him about Alex Van Pelt, all season long, he loved AVP. Sure. So I think he'll like McDaniels. It's just a matter of, you know, how different are the offenses going to be? Is that something that is going to suit Drake May? All that.
Greg said something about highlighting the mobility of Drake May that I found interesting. Mm-hmm. We can circle back to that. But there was some news while we went to break.
All right.
Liam Cohen is going to stay with the Bucs. He was their offensive coordinator.
So not taking the Jaguars job.
He turned down the Jaguars job. He, I think, was the favorite to get that job. And the only reason I bring up Liam Cohen, I would also bring up Ben Johnson from a year ago, is I think those guys are shining examples of one thing you hear constantly about Josh McDaniels. This would be the counter to that. Well, hire McDaniels. You know he's not going to go anywhere. You don't want to have to start over again. Hire a new OC for Drake May, which, again, I don't care about. I just keep going to the McVay tree and keep going to the McVay tree and then go back there again. I'm not worried about that, but some people are. Well, it turns out with Liam Cohen, he's staying. And he was a highly sought-after offensive coordinator for a head coaching job. Ben Johnson stayed a year ago. Highly sought-after offensive coordinator. So not only have we seen some stay, and you're right, he eventually left.
Gone.
But you kept him for an extra year.
You did.
Not only have we seen those guys stay, there is a way to keep them. You pay.
Do you think that's going to happen? Although, actually, the Patriots did that with McDaniels.
Do I think it's going to happen? No, and you're right. They have done that with McDaniels before.
McDaniels was on his way out to the Colts for years ago, and they were able to keep him. And the reports at the time were he was the highest-paid coordinator.
Do I think it's going to happen? No. No, I don't.
Unlikely, yeah.
But that is an indictment on the craft. If you hear over and over again, well, you don't just want to lose the guy and lose him a year later.
I believe a Belichick thing. Got reported that Belichick didn't love the idea of the revolving door coaches. He likes sort of like an established staff going forward.
Yeah.
So maybe it's less of a craft consideration than it was Belichick.
Maybe, but they brought in Van Pelt last year. And I don't know that was by choice. That was like
one and done anyway.
Option number 15.
Yeah.
But yeah, what's the better approach? Bringing in guys you know aren't going anywhere?
The best guy. Bring
McDaniels,
in the best guy.
Patricia, O'Brien, Van Pelt. I heard that logic with all those guys, too. They're not going anywhere. They're not going to leave. They're going to stay here. Or would you rather hire a guy who's actually good at the job with a creative scheme, who maybe is career conscious and looking to take that next step as a head coach? Why on earth is that a bad thing?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it's just because it's been such a hot potato position to this point, and that's one way to ruin a young quarterback is how many head coaches, how many coordinators did they play for in, you know, early in their careers? Like two guys, and they went kind of different ways with it, but Baker Mayfield, bunch of head coaches, bunch of offensive coordinators, needed to like bounce around teams to sort of rejuvenate his career because he was really good as a rookie. And then they were like, all right, now it's Freddie Kitchens, and now it's this guy, now it's that guy, now we're going to upgrade. Ryan Tannehill was another one, awful in Miami, but it was different coaches, different coordinators, different everything, and then ended up being decent enough, and then now kind of fizzled and out of it. So I think that's just one thing that you have to be concerned with the rookie quarterback.
I'm just telling you, you hired a safe guy last year in Alex Van Pelt, and now you need to hire another guy. So you really can't control that.
No. So I disagree.
You can't hire who's leaving and who's you're going to have to fire. You can't really control it, so don't worry about it.
No, but Van Pelt was only safe in the sense that you didn't think he was going to get another job like that. He wasn't, like, safe in he's going to be really good at this.
Well, correct. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I think the thought is McDaniels will be a lot better at this than Van Pelt was.
Well, let's see.
No, there's no guarantee, but I think Vrabel and Kraft and even Patriots fans are like, all right, here's a guy that's called plays 18 years versus a guy who's called plays once.
I'm just going to tell you, a lot of people said the same thing about O'Brien. O'Brien won't be worse than Patricia.
I agree.
You have a real play caller here. He won't be worse than Patricia. He was.
He was worse.
The offense was worse. So I have heard this logic before, and I think McDaniels is better than O'Brien. But
same.
Like, I've heard this, and you were all wrong about it out there. So I don't think McDaniels is anything near a slam dunk. There are check marks. There are pluses. But I don't think he's anywhere near a slam dunk. And Keith, you did a deep dive on his history.
The Rich Keefe Stats and Info stayed up pretty late last night,
Jones.
Let's
hear some numbers from the Rich Keefe Stats and Info department. Late night, hamster wheel turning.
That's
Let's
right.
hear the numbers.
So these are all the years that Josh McDaniels was a play caller. I will give you the year, the team, the quarterback, and where they ranked in points.
Okay.
2006, Patriots, 7th with Tom Brady. 2007, Patriots, one of the greatest offenses of all time, 1st with Tom Brady. 2008, with the Patriots, 8th with Matt Castle. Then 2009 with the Broncos, 20th with Kyle Orton. 2010 also with the Broncos, 19th with Kyle Orton, although he was fired after 12 games. 2011 with the Rams, dead last 32nd with Sam Bradford.
Nice.
Comes back to the Patriots. This stretch all with Tom Brady until I tell you otherwise. 2012, 1st. 2013, 3rd. 2014, 4th. 2015, 3rd. 16, 3rd. 17, 2nd. 18, 4th. 2019, his last year with Brady, 7th.
Okay, so he was top five all those years when he returned to New England until his final year with Brady. Yep.
2020 with Cam Newton, 27th.
Huh.
2021 with Mac Jones, 6th.
15th in yards, 6th in scoring. Yep.
Okay, 6th. 2022 with the Raiders and Derek Carr, they were 12th. And then in 2023 with Jimmy Garoppolo, Aiden O'Connell, and somebody else, they were 23rd.
I think it was Stidham.
And Stidham also fired in season, which is pretty remarkable. But again, he's not hired as a head coach.
Okay.
He is the offensive coordinator. I would say more wins than losses, honestly. Wins than losses.
I would agree. When you line it up, even subtracting the Brady years, which is probably not fair to entirely
I'll give him some credit for that. I mean, Brady did it with everybody, so it is one of those things. But, like, they were really high end. And, you know, his second year calling plays, this is going back forever ago, his second year calling plays, he's given Randy Moss, he's given Wes Welker, and like they had the best offense in the history of football. So yeah, you have Tom Brady, you have all these guys, but he got the most out of that team till the end.
Well, I mean, that offense, I'd be curious to look at I'd have to go back and look.
They had the lead in the Super Bowl.
The offense tailed off a lot in the second half of that year, though.
Yeah, it did. I think, you know, teams kind of got on. They started playing close games a little bit.
And I would say about the Castle year, which you hear a lot about, they were, you know, a top 10 offense that year with Matt Castle. They also went from, as Keith just said, the best in the history of the sport at the time to barely in the top 10. So that there was a drop-off is all I would highlight. And that was still a super talented team.
The other thing I would say, too, before we get some of these calls, Tom Brady, far and away, the best quarterback he's ever been with. Would Drake May already be the second best quarterback? Because he got a washed Cam Newton. He didn't get MVP Cam Newton.
I mean, right.
Kyle Orton.
Cam based on career,
Sam
sure.
Sam Bradford. Garoppolo. So I think he's already got the second best quarterback.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the expectations should be pretty high.
The one thing that jumps out to me going through all those QBs is when Bedard says, well, he knows how to maximize a mobile quarterback. When Josh has been the head coach and had a real say in it, and there's rumors that he wanted Lamar in Lamar's draft year, which is very convenient, you know, but you look at who he actually had. He drafted Tebow, but his quarterback was Orton. In Vegas, it was, as you said, Carr and Garoppolo and even Jarrett Stidham. For when the guy was in charge and could actually make calls, he didn't exactly have the mobile quarterback out there.
Cam Newton did rush for 12 touchdowns.
That's true.
And I mean, that was pretty much their offense.
Cam,
they didn't have much else, but
Cam
they did.
Cam had a good running year. Cam
Most moved. Of them were in that Seattle game, but
they were all against Seattle, and they were all from the 1 yard line. But whatever, Jalen Hurts gets credit for those tush pushes, so
man,
it counts.
That was a fun game.
Counts.
Cam Newton week two against Seattle was a fun game.
Julian Edelman had a career high in receiving yards.
Nikhil Harry had a career high in receiving
yards. It was a bizarre
that
game.
That makes sense. Edelman, it was a career high?
I don't think Edelman had ever had as many receiving yards in a game, even with Brady, as he did with Cam Newton. It's one of the more bizarre stats.
What a fun game. And it came crashing down.
A little bit.
Okay, let's go to the phones. Barry's in New Bedford. Hello, Barry.
Hey, guys. This is the equivalent of when the Bulls hired Stan Albeck to coach Michael Jordan his rookie year. I mean, this is a complete joke. You mentioned the history. He was the head coach and play caller in Denver, got fired. He was the head coach and play caller in Vegas, got fired. His offenses, and this was explained to me by a former Patriot receiver of how this offense operates. He says in most like offenses like McVay and Shanny, the receiver runs a route that's called in the play. With McDaniels, you have to read the coverage to run a route. He creates so much overthinking in his offense. That's why he basically ruined Sam Bradford. Sam Bradford was an athletic throwing quarterback out of Oklahoma. Look what happened to him.
Yeah.
I mean, Baker Mayfield should be thankful that Mahomes not leaving.
Do you think that's a bad thing, Keith, that McDaniels asked receivers to read cover? Like, there's
like
more,
option routes and
there's
stuff?
There's more thinking to it, but I don't think that's a bad thing either. That means you have answers. I think that's a plus for McDaniels.
There was always some talk about the offense was too complicated for a lot of receivers. And one of the reasons why they drafted a lot of receiver busts was those guys couldn't figure it out. And one of the reasons why, now this also backfired on them, when Matt Patricia, they were going to bring in like a different offense. You just had the wrong guy teaching it.
Mm-hmm.
But part was they wanted to make it easier for guys to join the team, whether it was free agents or rookies, and figure it out. Because if you look at the history of the team, there's like a handful of guys that really got it. You know, like Troy Brown, Deion Branch, Edelman, Welker, Moss. Like those, everybody else didn't really, or, you know, Gronk. But for wide receivers, they did try to like simplify it. So I don't know if McDaniels is going to say, hey, I'm running the exact same stuff I always ran. He might change.
Wasn't the issue there that Brady was just on a different level than everybody else?
That's also true.
It wasn't just purely the offense and what McDaniels demanded. It's that Brady was just on such a higher plane than everybody else because he had done it
for
so long.
If a guy runs the wrong option route, I think Brady's going to give
up
on him.
You're in the doghouse.
Yeah.
Fair text here, 617-779-7937. Jones, you love to preach consistency. You're now talking about McDaniels ruining Bradford. That was Keith. What happened to if he can play, he can play? Fair point. Bradford, I don't really think could play. I just think
that Bradford's a weird. He had good years and bad. He got hurt a lot.
I think McDaniels made him. He was worse than McDaniels. I just think that's what it is. Bradford was fine-ish. He wasn't great. He never lived up to his expectations.
True.
And his worst year was with McDaniels. That's just highlighting that McDaniels made him worse while he was there. That's all.
No, that's it. Well, you just can't say he got the most out of him.
No, definitely
right? Because
not.
Like, so even if his ceiling is much lower than Drake Mays, if you want to play it that way, he didn't get anywhere near that under Josh McDaniels.
No.
Anyway, WEEI Afternoons, talking about Patriots talent acquisition. And before we get back into some of these would you like this guy kind of situations, I had a bigger philosophical or higher level question that I wanted to ask you guys. It just kind of popped into my head. If you can only nail just one this offseason.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this is going to be fun.
Would you nail the draft?
Oh, okay.
Or free agency? You're not going to really reap a lot from the other one. So you can, Elliott Wolf can nail just one.
That's a tough question.
What does he nail?
Oh, easy, the draft.
I think I agree with you.
Okay.
That fourth pick.
Gotta go draft.
The extra picks, and we all talk about it, like, if you're going to be good, you got to lay a foundation young talent, cost-controlled talent. Now, but the flip side of that is, it means you spent $130 million and didn't get a lot of return on your investment. I don't love that idea either.
I guess I look at the draft as a long-term play and the free agency as you get better right away.
Right. So you'd pick that?
No. Ideally you do what the Commanders did is you nail it in the draft and you nail it in free agency.
Well, yeah, but that's not how this game works, Ted.
Okay.
It's either or. Would you rather?
Right. At the end of the day, let's build through the draft, please. That's give me a. I mean, I'm used to playing on teams where the foundation of our success was our draft picks.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's just the best way to build a team. Well, I do.
I do, too, because we just talked last segment about a team we think the Patriots can't aspire to be, the Eagles. Their defensive front, drafted. Their wide receiver, one of them, drafted. Their quarterback, drafted. Now, I know they also nailed the hell out of Saquon Barkley in a trade for A.J. Brown.
I was going to say, their offensive trades and free agency have been spot on.
Is that Howie Rosen? Howie Rosen has done a really good job there.
To be honest, you need both to be perennial
100%.
Playoff
team. That's how you become the Eagles.
That's right.
Because you nailed your Lane Johnson draft pick. You nailed your Devontae Smith. You nailed your Jalen Hurts, Jalen Carter, all those guys up front. And then you augmented it with, Saquon Barkley's available. We got the money for him. Let's go. Oh, wait, you guys are dumb enough to trade A.J. Brown? We'll trade for A.J. Brown.
He's worth
all three.
You developed him for us. Thanks so much for doing that.
Ideally, I want Elliot Wolf to study at the school of Howie Roseman and hit the trifecta, nail everything you touch, but that's probably not realistic.
And what I like, too, about just nailing it in the draft is you create this kind of culture where guys, they sign second deals here. If you nail it in the draft, that means usually you're going to sign up to another deal. So you're talking of guys that potentially that you draft could be here 6 to 8 to 10 years. That's when you get a group of guys that have been here 6 to 8 to 10 years like we had, that's where you got something special because now those players take ownership of what's going on in the locker room.
So, Ted, we played this game both on the Six Rings podcast and the previous iteration of the afternoon show. We called it Pick 10. You guys called it Protect 10. Could you you talk about second contracts and developing your guys and keeping them. We had a hard time thinking which 10 Patriots, if there was an expansion draft, which 10 Patriots on the current roster you would like absolutely have to protect. And Drake May, you can't name him.
There's only two players.
He's right.
There's only two players.
I mean, you can stretch it to get to like five.
And I think the guys that you would say, those other three, I would might have. I'll throw a name at you. You've said that would you think Keon White is a guy you protect?
No.
What about Christian Barmore?
Yes. I want to say yes, but I want to say yes less over the last year.
I'm not as convinced that Christian Barmore is going to be the player.
Health-wise or the head?
It's just this
combination.
Maybe both. I'm not worried about health because guys get hurt. I don't know if he's
that clotting issue scares me.
That's a fair point. That's a fair point. But guys have come back from it and been okay. But I just think he's a little tad bit overrated. That's it.
Lot overrated.
I don't think he's dominant player that a lot of people think. That's all. So to answer your question, I think with any real strong conviction, I'd say there's two players worth protecting.
And then
the other 51 guys I'd put on the expansion draft.
Yeah. 51 guys on the draft?
Yeah.
Damn, Ted.
He's not wrong.
Maybe Mike Onwenu, but he had a terrible year this year.
He didn't have a great year, and you're kind of paying him a lot of money. It's not like he's a great value early contract guy. Yeah. You're paying him a lot of money. So, there's a lot of holes to be filled, talent to be upgraded.
What about my guy Bryce Baringer?
No, we're not.
Brendan Schooler. Come on.
He's fine.
Fine.
I mean, I would use a spot on him just because
you have to pick 10.
I have 10 spots.
You can't tell the NFL. We only have
three. You want
these
back? Just here. Have your spots back. I don't need these. That'd be a way to motivate your team. You have an expansion draft. They let you protect 10, and you're like, no, I'm good at 2.
Sir, the way Texas Hold'em works is you got to get at least 5 cards, and I'm fine with 2.
I'm good. Both aces.
There'll be a day. You guys, just for expansion draft, remember that with me. I got a really good story about the expansion draft back in the day.
Put a pin in that, Stiz. Ted has an expansion draft story we need to revisit.
The expansion draft back in 2002 led to a very fascinating relationship with Bill Belichick and me.
All right. I like it.
We'll put an extra pin in that.
Yeah. Double pin it. Anyway, so the wide receivers, we touched on Davante Adams could be available. Cooper Kupp could be available. Deebo Samuel could be available. I'll throw another name that's not on this list. Actually, one more that is on this list, Tyler Lockett, who I've always kind of liked.
Love Tyler Lockett.
Would you sign him? He has a $31 million cap figure this year.
Excuse me?
Yeah, that's why
Tyler Lockett?
That's why he's not going to be on Seattle anymore.
Yeah.
They can save $17 million of that by cutting him.
You got an age on him? How many years?
32.
Okay. Yeah.
He's coming off his worst season.
But that's because Jackson Smith and Jigba took over the receiving
core. That's another veteran guy that I feel like you add to your core, and maybe you get the production of 40-something catches, 50 catches, but also
some leadership.
Pro kind of thing.
And that's That's part of it, Andy. Like, don't just go get the greatest wide receiver. Get the great, get a good wide. I'd rather you get a good wide receiver that has all of the intangibles and quality leadership attributes than the elite wide receiver that you're not so sure is going to, you know, buy into what you're selling here.
Right. And okay, so those are some of the names. There's others out there. Marcus Williams, he was a safety that member. There were some rumblings the Patriots could trade for him at the trade deadline last year. Bosa is a name. Hargrave is a name. So there's going to be some names on that restructure.
Nick, not Joe. Give me the Nick Bosa, not the Joe Bosa.
You have a preference in Bosa's. Okay, but let's go now to Doug Kide over at the Boston Herald. Took a different approach. He took the trade approach. So guys that might be available. The first name on this list, I don't know why he's available necessarily. He's had a couple quiet playoff games. He likes to read on the bench. He made a bestseller on Amazon. A.J. Brown. Mm-hmm. I don't know why the Eagles would trade A.J. Brown. And I also think if they win the Super Bowl, because they're still eligible, even though Tom Curran says they're going to lose, they could still beat the Commanders and then win the Super Bowl. If they win the Super Bowl, I find it hard to believe you're going to sell that to Philly fans by then immediately trading A.J. Brown off for a Super Bowl win.
Was it A.J. Brown that was having issues with Jalen Hurts earlier in the season?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No,
they had some, maybe there's something going on behind the scenes.
Yeah, maybe there's something going on with Jalen Hurts. He has issues with his coach, too.
That's a fair
point. It's a Hurts problem.
I don't know. I'm just trying to figure out.
He seems an odd bird.
Like a dink. If I'm just going to be honest.
Who does? Jalen?
Hurts.
Something's
dink vibes.
I don't know what it is. There is something that just, I don't know exactly what dink vibes look like, but there's like something. Him. So something off.
Yeah. You know? So A.J. Brown, I think everybody in their right mind would trade for A.J. Brown if he's available.
Of course.
He
shouldn't be available, Andy.
He won't be.
But in case he pouts his way out of there, the obvious connection is back to the coach he loves.
So the other wide receivers on Doug Kide's trade list.
Oh, wait a minute. For Vrabel, the Vrabel connection.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he's on record as loving Vrabel?
They love each other.
Oh, yeah. Well, then there
John
we go.
John Robinson traded him. Vrabel, that was gotcha, the beginning
gotcha,
of the
gotcha,
end.
Gotcha, Vrabel. Good love, to
know.
Love,
didn't
love
know
him.
That,
love
that nugget of info.
Debo Samuel is on both lists here. Could he be cut? Could be he'd be a trade? I'm not as high on him. I think there's been a lot of wear and tear on that body, and he's older than his birth certificate age. I mean, he's a good player.
He's a fun player. When healthy, but that's not often enough.
I wanted him when you could have drafted him and gotten the healthy years out of him. I don't know that I want the back-end years out of Debo Samuel.
Who was the wide receiver that played running back for the Patriots that did kickoff returns?
Patterson.
Thank you.
Patterson.
Way to go, man.
Yeah.
You know what? I like the idea of like a Debo that's a fun little toy that you can – you know, put in this weaponized offense I'm going to keep talking about.
Yep.
So I like the idea of a Debo Samuel in this offense.
Okay, the next two names I like much better. One is more of a veteran receiver. Mercurial has some issues, but might be one of the top five best athletes in the National Football League. DK Metcalf of your Seattle Seahawks, would you trade for him? Or the guy I've been bringing up all along, and it's a long shot because of the team he plays for, but he clearly is going on the road of hating the team he plays for. They just happen to be about a three-hour drive down 95. The Jets, Garrett Wilson. I would trade for, because he is young, stud, could grow with Drake May. I think Garrett Wilson would be the dream trade if you could. I'm just not sure the Jets, whoever's running the Jets, is going to trade him in the division.
What's he going to cost, though? It's got to be
a first. I'll trade a first-round pick for him.
You'd take Garrett Wilson over DK Metcalf?
Yeah, I would. I think Garrett Wilson is a better all-around player. And this is, you never really know with receivers. I think he might be slightly less diva-ish
than DK.
I'm not sure. I don't feel great about that statement I just made on the radio.
Yeah. But I'm not as worried about the diva qualities and maybe some of these guys. I think Vrabes will put a lid on it.
And I also think if you want an elite receiver, well, then you want a diva. Because there aren't too many Larry Fitzgeralds, right? There's very few and far between giving you Hall of Fame number one production.
16 years.
Right? Like we love Randy Moss, diva.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? You know, almost anybody you want to list that was a top five receiver for any portion of his career. Cooper Kupp might not be a diva. Okay. But there's not a lot of those guys you can pull from.
No, that's fair.
So I would take a diva. Because I think that's what they need, honestly. They need a lightning rod. They need a guy who's going to talk crap, but also has the ability to back it up.
No doubt.
Right now, they just have the guys that talk
like
crap.
People like Javon Baker standing up in wheelchairs.
Jalen Polk.
Getting
I have
popcorn.
The best hands in the NFL. Do
yeah,
you?
Both of them
do
really
you really?
Do
themselves. I'd like to see it proven on the football field.
I told you during the break that I had this crazy idea of what could ultimately happen with Cooper Kupp and or Matthew Stafford if, in fact, both of them aren't on the Rams next year.
Yeah.
Hear me out on this one. Imagine if, because now, obviously, the Detroit Lions are going through a lot of turmoil because the attrition. Imagine if Stafford goes back to Detroit.
No. Where's Goff going?
He's not. Who cares? Get rid of him.
No. He just signed an extension.
I don't care.
You think you
put him down in the alley.
I think very little of Jared Goff, but I mean, they're not going to just turn their back on Jared Goff now.
Why not?
The head coach of Boston College football, Bill O'Brien, is brought to you and powered this morning by Verizon. Get to your local Verizon store today and trade in any phone in any condition, guaranteed, and get a great deal on a new 5G phone with Unlimited Ultimate. And Bill O'Brien is also brought to you by Time Out Market, showcasing the best of Boston under one roof. Good morning, Bill.
Morning, guys. How are we doing?
Doing great. How are you?
Great. I'm in Jersey, New Jersey, recruiting.
Ooh,
on the road.
Have you encountered Bill Belichick on the recruiting trail yet?
Ooh. You know, I think I'm following him a little bit. I think he's been in Jersey already. So no, I haven't actually run into him, but he's out there, no question. A lot of competition on the road.
If you saw Bill, would it be like that scene in Anchorman when competing TV stations run into each other?
It would be very cordial, Curtis.
Okay,
very cordial.
Good.
I don't know if you were, well, you're on the road, so probably not. But yesterday, Scheim, during his lead, was very upset about Patriots fans calling them sheep, because they are happy with the hiring of Josh McDaniels. You had been talking on this show the week previous about Josh and your respect for him. And so I'm assuming that you would be polar opposite when it comes to your opinion, to the opinion of Scheim on this hire by Mike Vrabel and by the Patriots.
Yeah, you know, Scheim and I are usually on the same page. But I would say on this one, we're probably not. You know, I think that Josh is a proven coordinator in that league. He's extremely bright. He's stayed up with the trends in that league. He knows how to coach young quarterbacks. He's done it several times. He's a good developer of quarterbacks, and he's a good fit for the Patriots. He has, you know, institutional knowledge of the culture of the Patriots, and you know, those guys are going to be who they are. Mike's going to be Mike, and Josh is going to be Josh, but I mean, there's a winning tradition at the Patriots that I think they'll all work hard to get back to, and Josh knows how to coach offense.
Bill, you've kind of been down this road before. How does Josh adapt the offensive scheme? Because it's kind of the scheme, or at least from where I see it, what Charlie Weiss started it out, but it wasn't really about having a mobile quarterback. Now Josh has a mobile quarterback. You've kind of used that scheme, and you've had some mobile quarterbacks. How do you change and adapt that scheme to having a guy that you can now add in some design runs with?
Yeah, I think that's the key to being a good coordinator. I think, you know, over the course of time, you always have to, when you have a great quarterback, you've got to design everything around what his skill set is. And, you know, Drake can do a lot, right? He's got a really good arm. He's very accurate. He can anticipate. And like you said, Wick, he can run. So, I think Josh has done that in the past. You know, Garoppolo could run. I mean, even back in 2008, I was the wide receiver coach when Tom injured his knee. And, you know, Josh was a coordinator, and we had Matt Castle. And Matt Castle, you know, he could run. And so we did some things with Matt to get him outside the pocket and to do some different things to put pressure on the defense. So, you know, I don't think Josh will have any issue with that. There's that's kind of the way the league is right now. If you look at this Final Four of teams in the league, and Jaden Daniels and Josh Allen and obviously Pat Mahomes, and, you know, these guys are Jalen Hurts, you know, guys are mobile, and so I think he'll be ready to adapt to what the offense needs to be.
Bill, what do you say to people, Scheim included, but he's not the only one, that say that Josh McDaniels is only known for Tom Brady, and Tom Brady is the reason that Josh McDaniels gets a nod, and what else has he done? Who else has he been able to bring to be a great? And that the Patriots are just relying on our nostalgia to get us back on board with Josh McDaniels.
No, I don't agree with that. I mean, I think if you look at who he's developed over time, even at the Patriots, you know, when Garoppolo had to play, Jacoby Brissett had to play, Matt Castle had to play, over the course of his career, he's been able to develop all types of quarterbacks. And you know, I think that he'll do a great job with Drake. I mean, I know you guys are, it seems like you're setting up me and Shyam to be arguing. I mean, Shyam and I are usually on the same page. Yeah. I don't really want to, you know, gee, Shyam, I'm sorry, Shyam. I don't know if you're there today, but.
Yeah, I'm. Well, Billy, my issue.
We're definitely not in agreement on Josh McDaniels.
Well, I guess, Billy, my issue is I've seen you go out and have success and win games with guys like Ryan Fitzpatrick, Brock Osweiler, TJ Yates, Tom Savage, like you name it. Like there's a long list of them that you have won games with that haven't necessarily been, you know, a top five quarterback in the league. And then I just look at Josh's resume and his doesn't match up nearly as good. And so for me, it's a massive concern.
He invited you to be a guest at one camp. He's not hiring you.
I didn't say he was. Look, I'm not trying to just glaze the guy. Like it's true.
You can stop B-washing. You can stop B-washing Billy from Andover.
One of my favorite things about Billy O is that he has won multiple games with TJ Yates, who I don't know if he started for another team. Like that is awesome.
Well, I do appreciate you saying that, Shyam. I really do. But I will tell you that, you know, if you look back and you really look at let's just look at when Josh was at the Patriots, you know, when he had Tom, obviously Tom was the best to ever do it. But there were several other guys that came in underneath Tom that you had to get ready to play that were obviously completely different than Tom. And when those guys had to play, over the course of the history of the Patriots offense, those guys were very successful. I mean, go back to Matt. We were 11-5 with Matt. I think we were one of the few 11-5 teams to not make the playoffs. You go back to Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy Garoppolo, before he got hurt, I think they were 3-0, 4-0 with Jimmy when Tom was suspended. You know, Jacoby Brissett, he did a good job. He beat up. Jacoby was the quarterback. We came up here on a Thursday night when I was with the Texans, and you know they ran speed option and they did some different things with Jacoby. So, you know, I think give it time and you'll be impressed with what Josh can do with Drake May.
On to the NFL, real quick. You brought up Patrick Mahomes. I you know, I'm sure you hear this. I'm interested if you see it. Do you feel like the Chiefs are getting calls that they should not be getting? You probably live that with the Patriots, the argument on the other side of things.
I mean, I just think that the rules surrounding the quarterback nowadays, you know, it really coincides with the quarterbacks being able to get away with doing certain things, especially the best one in the league. And the best quarterback in the league right now, until he's knocked off that throne of Super Bowl champion, is Pat Mahomes. And so, like, when you know, when you come anywhere near his head on a late rush, or you try to, you know, hit him when he's going out of bounds, you know, Pat's a smart player. He's going to take advantage of that because those are the rules. And I think that's where they have to go back. Like, the slide rule, Greg, is ridiculous. It's even trickled down to college. It happened in our Nebraska game. Like, you know, if these guys are runners, once they break the pocket, they're runners. And so if they don't slide early enough and declare themselves down, then you should be able to hit them. But until that rule's changed, you know, the great ones are going to take advantage of that stuff.
Yeah, it's wild. I mean, they did some math yesterday I saw circulating. I'm a big Reddit guy. Not really. But Mahomes has 36 roughing the passer calls in the last 7 seasons of his career. Brady had 31-23 in the playoffs. In 19 playoff games, Mahomes has 8 roughing the passer calls. Tom Brady has 4 in his career.
That's incredible. I mean, I don't, you know, again, I think, like, look, the prized commodity in the National Football League is the quarterback, right? I mean, it's a quarterback-driven league. If you don't have a quarterback, you really have no shot to win games. So, in the end, people are clicking on their TVs, and they're wanting to watch these quarterbacks. They don't want them hurt. They don't want them on the sidelines. So, I get it. They're trying to take care of the quarterback relative to the rules, but I mean, there is some common sense with these rules too. These guys are football players, and you know, if you look at For example, Josh Allen, who I think is great. I mean, I think the guy's unbelievable. But look at what they do with him. They run him on power plays. They run him on, you know, outside zone plays. I mean, he's like 250 pounds coming rolling down the tracks. It's hard to stop him. But when he's a scrambler, he can slide late and you can't hit him. It's kind of a weird thing for the defense to get used to.
If the Chiefs are able to get the three-peat, does Mahomes have a case for goatness?
No, not yet. No. I mean, goatness, I mean, if you think about what Tom did, I mean, it was incredible. I mean, how many AFC championship games he went to, how many Super Bowls he was in, then how many Super Bowls he won. Mahomes is great. I spent a lot of time with Mahomes before he was drafted. I have great respect for place to go.
Last one from me, Bill. The ratings for the national title game were the lowest ever. What do you think that is?
I didn't know that. I don't know. I can't answer that one. I thought, in the beginning when Notre Dame opened the game, I was like, man, 18-play drive. I said Notre Dame. But then, you know, obviously Ohio State went on that run, but Notre Dame came back. It was a hell of a game. I mean, I don't know. It seems to me that, you know, maybe the playoff format has to be looked at a little bit, whatever it is. I do think college football, the enthusiasm for college football is high right now. I believe that, but I didn't know that. So that question, that's a hard one for me to answer. I watched it, thought it was a hell of a game.
Bill, a selfish question for me, but with you on the road talking to all these recruits, what is the feedback about BC and kids wanting to go there? Wiggy and I were talking about having Notre Dame in the national championship. Obviously, academic-wise, BC and Notre Dame are on the same playing field. So are guys looking at BC in a different light with you as the guy in charge?
Absolutely. I think that when you look at where we're at right now, and we go out, like, we just hit every Catholic school in the last 3 days in New Jersey. And everywhere we go, the top recruits, I can't really mention names because I get in trouble with that, even though, I mean, I don't even understand where the NCAA is and anything. But if I mention a kid's name, I get fined or something like that. I don't know. Anyways, so wherever school we go to, the top prospect in each school that we've been to the last 2 or 3 days, including today, you know, they're coming up to visit us, Courtney. They've already been to visit us. They've been to games. We signed 27 kids in the class of 25. We've got, I think, 10 portal guys, including 2 transfers from Alabama, in incoming. We flipped the roster, and we feel really good about where we're headed. And I think that Boston College is a place that, you know, as you know, you can come there and you can have the opportunity to get a great football development program, get you ready to play in the NFL, get one of the best degrees in the country. And Boston College teaches you how important it is to give back to the community. So, you know, I think we're in a good spot. We got to go do it, though.
I lied about the last one. Your old boss, Nick Saban, said this week that he believes that the when it comes to NIL, there essentially needs to be a salary cap to keep everything equal. Which would you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, I think there has to be, in some way, shape, or form, in conjunction with federal government, with the Congress, there has to be some type of college football commission created with a commissioner, with a cabinet underneath that commissioner that regulates college, football. I mean, there's certain, like the other day, I'll give you an example. I was at a kid's basketball game. And after the game, they were like, hey, we want to take a picture with the team. So I jumped in to take a picture with the team. Oh, wait a minute. There's a couple kids that are, you know, freshmen and sophomores. They can't be in this picture. It's an NCAA violation. I mean, wait a second. We're paying kids. Like, what do you mean it's an NCAA violation for this nice kid to be in this picture? Like,
yeah.
What are we out of our minds? It doesn't even make sense. So this has to be regulated, and there has to be a commission, and hopefully that'll happen at some point. It's not really in the near future, but I keep pushing that. I think other coaches are pushing that. I think that's the way it should go.
Bill O'Brien, as always, a pleasure. Thank you, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Did Mike Vrabel hire Josh McDaniels, or did Robert Kraft and Jonathan Kraft hire Josh McDaniels?
Mike Vrabel hired Josh McDaniels.
So no forced marriage here. He went through the interview process and came down to the candidate that he wanted.
That's what I believe to be the case. Yes, absolutely.
High noon here on WEEI. That was Adam Schefter yesterday on WEEI Afternoons. Yeah, that's what I believe. Oh. You there believe. You
well, this guy's very informed.
He's an info man. But that was, I believe. No, that was just an interesting way to say it by Adam Schefter.
I know.
A lot of his reports aren't, that's what I believe, yeah.
But there's
a lot
also
of his reports aren't, this is the way it is.
I know, but both things can be true. Robert Kraft could say, this is the guy I want. And Mike Vrabel could say, yeah, I also want him. Is that possible?
Yes.
It does feel like Kraft wanted him more than Vrabel wanted him. But when you look at all the different possible candidates to come through here and be the offensive coordinator, this seems less forced upon. Well, let me ask you this. When Bill O'Brien came back, we know that was the guy that Belichick worked with and liked before, but then he thought Bebop and Rocksteady could coach the offense.
Correct.
And then Robert Kraft stepped in and was like, we can't have these guys running the offense. We're bringing back Bill O'Brien. I don't think Belichick wanted him, but I also don't think he was completely against
it. If it were up to Bill, Bill would have let Patricia keep calling plays.
Correct.
And Bill technically would have been right. Patricia had a better year than Bill O'Brien.
That's true.
So Bill, if it were up to him, would have run it back with Patricia, but he probably was like, yeah, whatever. I'll go along with
it. I think he's okay with it, even though he's like, all right, the owner likes him.
Not my first choice. The impetus was the owner.
Yeah.
The driving force behind it was the owner, but Bill went along with it. Yeah, I could see a similar thing with Vrabel. That's a good analogy. Yeah. So you can jump in on this, 617-779-7937. We have pros and cons for the Patriots coaching staff. Our guy, Monty Mack, in the Twitch chat.
Always pro.
Twitch.tv/BostonWEEI said, yeah, let's do pros and cons when there hasn't been a game played yet.
All right, we'll wait.
I mean, I would like to think.
So you can't like or dislike the hire?
Reacting to the coaching staff before games are played, I would like to think that's inbounds
by
for
the way,
Sports Talk Radio, but maybe not.
That would be a risky proposition. If you waited until the first game to react to Jerod Mayo, you would really liked him. One game, 1-0, you'd be like, this guy's good.
I did.
And then things went south.
It went south very quickly. So I like to think doing the pros and cons now before games are played,
mm-hmm.
so you actually have an opinion and a stance that then you can be, I don't know, right or wrong about, or you can say, boy, I had this, was way off on that one.
No.
I would like to think now is the time to get that out, but I guess not everybody agrees.
You are wrong.
You also have the opportunity to give your own pros and cons to the coaching staff.
Maybe it's all pros, for God's sakes. Maybe you're just so in love with the staff. It's 30 seconds of pros.
We did have a caller earlier today give one 30-second pro.
It was like one take, really.
It was really just one long, elongated take.
Fleshed it out, though.
We still hit him with the buzzer.
Yeah, 30 seconds is up. You're done.
So we did this earlier today, along with our conversation about who's really running the Patriots.
Yeah.
And do you trust whoever that is? If it's the Krafts, do you trust them? I don't. And that's who I think it is. Keith thinks it's Vrabel right now, who's kind of calling the shots on all these things. Is Vrabel the right guy for that? Do you trust Vrabel? You can jump in on that as well. We'll circle back to it. But I think we should give you our pros and cons.
Okay.
We put ourselves earlier on the 60-second clock,
sure
like
did.
We do on most Thursdays. I went first last time. Let's have Keith go first if we
all
could
right.
do this, Nick.
I like it.
This is Rich Keefe's pros and cons to the Patriots coaching staff on the clock. 60 seconds. Let's hear what you got, Keith.
All right, here you go. Patriots coaching staff pros. You have real coaches. You have real professional coaches. Not like last year. So Mike Vrabel comes in as a legitimate boss. Everybody is going to respect Mike Vrabel on the team and around the league. He's going to be able to command a room, command a sideline. Nothing is going to surprise him on game day. Nothing is going to surprise him in the week leading up to game day. Josh McDaniels has called plays in the NFL almost as many years as Drake May has been alive. This guy has a ton of experience doing that. Terrell Williams, our Hoss of the Week. This big fellow coached the D-line for the Lions. The Lions did a great job defensively up front, especially when they were healthy, and did a good job against the run. And he has a great working relationship with Mike Vrabel. The cons, it does seem like another sham interview process for all of these guys. Like, they had their mind made up before. They didn't do any real interviews, and they just landed on two throwbacks, former player, former coach, for the third time. Josh McDaniels has also, in 8 years without Tom Brady, only had two good offenses.
No!
That was a minute?
Yeah, it was a little extra time there.
I think you rushed me. That felt like it was 30 seconds.
I was told, how dare you question, Nick? I was told that was a 61-second file is what I was told.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Well, there's a little bit of time there to, you know, maybe we didn't take off right away. There's like a little start.
Sometimes I'm guilty of hemming and hawing right when I first get on the clock. It's a little nerve-wracking when you first get on. Yeah, you just got to go. You broke some news in there. Terrence Haas Williams, our Haas of the Week.
He should be. Congrats.
Well,
Sabathia's pissed. CC Sabathia did get into the Hall of Fame.
Sabathia snubbed. He could be our comeback Haas of the Week.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he comes back from not being on the list. He could be our comeback Haas of the Week maybe next week.
All right.
But so Keith broke a little news in there. I'll give you my pros and cons to the coaching staff. Here's what I came up with on the clock. Let's hear it. All right, pros. Vrabel, McDaniels, they're professionals. They've both done it before. Basically, they're not Gerard Mayo. They're not going to be surprised by anything. I do like member berries, Super Bowls, Tom Brady. I remember. Quarterback success. Vrabel went to an AFC title game with Ryan Tannehill. McDaniels has developed a lot of young quarterbacks. I do like the facial hair. Vrabel's got a good beard. Jeremy Springer, very well-groomed. I think that's a plus. They should be media savvy. I'm looking forward to Vrabel with Greg. No walk-back Mondays. And I like that Terrell Williams, the defensive coordinator, loves violence, which I approve of as long as it's not towards me. Cons, they're not on trend. It's a defensive head coach, nobody from the McVay tree. Both Vrabel and McDaniels out of coaching last year. I think that's a problem. McDaniels wears a visor, like Andy Hart, like LPGA golfers. I don't think that's good. Drake May has to start over with the lingo for Josh McDaniels' offense. I don't like that. Elliot Wolf's still here. I'm told he won't do anything, but I'm dubious. And maybe the worst thing, Bill Belichick gonna find a way to take credit because these are all his guys. Any success, he'll take it. He will take that credit.
You know that's coming. Well, poor Andy Hart catching a stray there. Just, you know, living his life, wearing his visors. Did you take a shot at him for that?
Well, he draws so much attention to Josh McDaniels being a visor guy.
Well, they are.
I think he legitimately just tweeted Brian Schottenheimer's a visor guy.
These guys are getting jobs left and right wearing these visors around.
Looking like LPGA golfers out there.
Yeah, a little bit. But you know, keep the sun out of your eyes.
You know that Bill's going to take credit for this year. You know it. It's like, oh, McDaniels is there. Yeah. I remember when I had Mike Vrabel and this and that. Plus, they're all his players.
Although, it's like he didn't want to take credit for Mayo, even though Mayo only knew football in the NFL from Bill Belichick.
Yeah,
but whatever.
No, Bill very wildly inconsistent. Yeah. He takes credit when it's good for him. He doles out blame when it's good for him.
Although he took pen to paper, apparently.
Oh, I forgot about that.
He signed his contract yesterday.
Jonathan Jones, who had the original report that Bill hadn't signed his deal.
Not the corner.
Not the Patriots
the
corner.
The other Jonathan Jones.
Dabbling in different lines of work. No, for CBS Sports. He says that Bill has a fully executed contract now with the University of North Carolina.
Yeah. So if he's going to break his contract, he's going to have to break one that he signed.
I'm sure he was always willing to sign that. I'm sure that was just an oversight that just, I was totally willing to get around to signing that.
The crap, it's out there?
Yeah.
People know about this now?
Well,
fine.
Doesn't that tell you Carolina was getting a little squirrely? Because I'd imagine that's where it came from.
Or do you think he was waiting until the Cowboys actually hired their guy?
Maybe it's that.
Yeah.
Maybe the fact that some of these jobs actually are filled up now, I'll sign the contract.
Maybe.
Good theory.
Who knows?
I would have interpreted it as North Carolina getting a little squirrely,
circulating
the info on the contract. But you're right. Bill Belichick sounds like officially will be the head coach at the University of North Carolina. His buyout really doesn't prevent much, but he has put pen to paper, according to CBS Sports.
There you go.
So we had a lot of overlap on the pros and cons with the coaching staff. If you have pros and cons, things you like, things you don't. You can jump in at 617-779-7937. We'll put you on the clock. You get 30 seconds. We get 60.
Yeah.
It's our show. We get a little more time. Stretch our legs. Few more pros. Few more cons. But we can put you on the clock to do that 30 seconds at a time. Again, at 617-779-7937. The experience to me, even though I think the Patriots put too much on that, you're not going to have, I don't think anyway, the disaster, embarrassment, blow up in your face like it did last year. I do feel good about that. Your floor is much higher. And there is something to be said for that. If it's the best thing you can say where, hey, we're not going to be a 4-win team. We might be a 7 or 8 win team, but we're not going to be a 4-win team. If that's the best thing you can say, it's still not great. But that is something that I think most of us feel good about with Mike Vrabel. He's a guy who's done it.
Yeah, maybe he's a guy somewhere.
He's a guy who even learned a few things from the end of Tennessee and maybe his year last season in Cleveland. Maybe you'll see a guy who's grown in that way. I think we agree on that. That's the biggest plus with this team.
All right, for sure. Let's ask it this way. Last year at this time, when Washington announced they were going with Dan Quinn and Cliff Kingsbury versus this year, the Patriots announcing Mike Vrabel, Josh McDaniels, like which one in the moment, we didn't know that they were going to be in the NFC Championship game.
No.
So I'm saying, like, at that time, you knew they had a high pick. They were also going to take a quarterback, just like the Patriots were. And it was retread defensive head coach, and it was failed head coach, offensive coordinator. The two kind of mirror each other quite a bit.
Yeah.
And me personally, I like Vrabel more than Quinn, but I like Kingsbury more than McDaniels.
Same.
But if you add them together, it's kind of similar.
Yeah, which one would you take?
I
think I would have taken the Patriots combo.
Yes.
If you told me last year Jaden Daniels got Vrabel and McDaniels, I'd go, oh, they're onto something there. Whereas I completely dismissed Quinn and Kingsbury, and the only reason I even...
More so because of Quinn for me, because I was like, oh, what are you bringing Quinn in there for? And like they passed on Bill Belichick for Dan Quinn.
I was dismissive of both.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I would have wanted Kingsbury over Van Pelt,
yeah,
but I was dismissive of both. I mean, if you're just telling me in real time the hire, and it could be just a Patriots bias because we followed Vrabel and we know what McDaniels is capable of when things are in a good spot, meaning you have Tom Brady, I'd feel good about that. I'd feel better about that. So, yeah, I mean, if you just told me these guys got hired for Washington last year, I'd say that's good for Jaden Daniels. I guess if I'm being consistent,
yeah,
this is good for Drake May. I don't know if it's great for Drake May, but, yeah, I like it better than Quinn and Kingsbury. Yeah.
So Quinn made it further.
Or at least I would have before we saw this year play out.
Right. Yeah. So Quinn was in Atlanta for 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, five and change. He got fired during the season.
Nice.
Mike Vrabel was in Tennessee for 6 years. Quinn got to the Super Bowl, as we all very well know. Mike Vrabel never got to the Super Bowl, but he had more playoff appearances. So, like, you could argue that one back and forth. I just like Vrabel overall better than Quinn, but track record somewhat similar. I think more wins actually for Vrabel. He had a better winning percentage, and then he gets hired another year after, you know, not being a head coach. Cliff Kingsbury, Josh McDaniels. I'm sure locally people prefer McDaniels. Nationally, I don't know. Maybe they'd go Kingsbury just because he's worked with more quarterbacks and he's had more success with a variety of quarterbacks than McDaniels has. But it does seem like I've sort of changed my tune a little bit, and Washington's a big reason for it, where I was so dead set on you have to get an offensive coach. But there are examples of defensive coaches still coaching really good offensive teams. Sean McDermott's one of them.
There's quite a few.
Dan Quinn.
Yeah, and there's others that we like that setup, and we say, oh, okay, this is a coach that's worked well with a young quarterback. I mean, C.J. Stroud and D'Amico Ryan. Stroud had a worse year this year, but that worked.
Yep.
That's worked 2 years in a row. They've made the playoffs 2 years in a row.
Now they grabbed playoff games
2 years in a row.
It was Slowick with Shanahan. Slowick was a Shanahan tree guy.
He was.
So, okay. So they did go that route. A lot of these good offenses peel from one of the two trees.
So discussing the offensive coordinator hire, it feels to me, if I had to guess, ownership still has their fingerprints all over the Josh McDaniels hire. They have their fingerprints all over Elliott Wolf still being here. Obviously, they handpicked Mike Vrabel.
Yeah.
Forget fingerprints on that one. That one's clearly
them. That's it.
So I do wonder how different things really are. You still hired a guy who played for you that you knew. At least he was proven and did it on his own in Tennessee. But you still hired a guy who played for you here in New England and you had a direct connection to. You didn't go through a full process. I know you talked about this, Keith, in your pros and cons. Elliott Wolf, you should have blown out. He's still here for some reason. Why?
Well,
haven't gotten a good answer on that.
Let me give you this one.
Yeah.
This might be a pro to add to the list. So, yeah, Elliott Wolf is here. Everybody kind of rolls their eyes at that and wonders why. Did Elliott Wolf pick Mike Vrabel? Absolutely not.
Nope.
Did he pick Terrell Williams? Absolutely not. Did he pick Josh McDaniels? Probably not. Right? He's got some... did he come here? Yeah. Yeah, he was here when Josh was here at the end.
They did overlap, but I doubt he picked him.
So what I'm saying is, like, the GM, or I know he doesn't have the title, but the guy in all effectiveness that we think is sort of the GM, the head player guy from a year ago, they retain him. The four biggest decisions they've made in this offseason don't seem to involve him at all.
Well, I don't think they involve him, but him being around in the first place involves ownership.
Well, that's a crap
ownership
thing. Yeah.
Ownership has the connection to McDaniels. Yeah. Ownership has the connection to Vrabel. I still think ownership is calling the shots, which is their right. It's their football team. They can do it if they want.
Yeah.
But the separate debate would be, is it the right thing for the club? And I'm not sure it is. You think Vrabel's actually the one calling the shots?
Yeah. I mean, part of that's being hopeful, but I also just think that he wouldn't take this job. I think there were really other jobs available to him. Unlike McDaniels, I think Vrabel, if he was dead set on a couple of these other jobs, probably could have done it. Like, if he focused all his attention on, I don't know, the Saints job or the Jets job or the Jaguars job or something, I think or Raiders, for God's sakes. Just stop right there. I think if he really wanted the Raiders job, he probably could have done it, and he could have worked with Brady and Seymour and, you know, their new GM now, the guy from the Bucks. He just doesn't want to get burned like he did in Tennessee before. So I don't think he signs up for it and is like, hey, I'm just happy to coach the team that I played for. No, he wants to have more success now than he did then. And one of the ways to do that is to not get blindsided by some ridiculous trade or get completely overruled on like the number four pick in the draft or any of these major, major decisions. But Elliott Wolf and these other guys are still left around because you do have a practice squad. You do have 53 guys on the roster. Like, you do have to scout seventh round picks. You do have to do all this other stuff that I think is not going to be, you know, Mike Vrabel's responsibility.
Yeah, it comes back to, even if you believe it's Vrabel, I don't yet. And that's going to be a hard one to figure out who's really in charge. We might go back and forth on it. And, you know, maybe there will be key decisions like an A.J. Brown type pivot where it'll become clear who's in power. Eventually, I think it will be, but I don't know when that'll be. Whoever's in charge of the Patriots, whoever you think is in charge of the Patriots, do you trust them? Are they the right person to do it? And are the Patriots back on track? That doesn't mean they're back to winning Super Bowls and being a dominant franchise for two decades, but are they back on the right track is how I should put that, to being a competent organization, being an organization that can get back to the playoffs, compete for players in free agency, and looked at as a generally well-run franchise. I'm still skeptical, but look, these are some real hires that feel like the rest of the league looks at it and goes, oh, Mike Vrabel, good hire.
Real guy.
Josh McDaniels, real guy, good hire. Coaching staff coming into place. Makes sense. Vrabel has a personnel guy here with him. I don't even think the league, we don't like Elliott Wolf here in New England.
No.
I don't think people within the league dislike Elliott Wolf. So I think there's a lot of people looking at it from afar who probably go, yeah, the Patriots, this is a well-run organization. Let's see. I'm not giving them the benefit of the doubt. And just about every hire they've made, Vrabel, keeping Wolf, bringing in McDaniels, makes me think that not enough has changed from last year where they should have looked at it and gone, okay, we tried this with Mayo. It didn't work. Let's start over again. I don't think they started over again.
But I mean, at the very least, Mayo, Covington, Van Pelt are gone. Chime, unnecessary shot fired in your direction during the break on the Subaru of New England text line.
Well, is it one of those sheep baaing at us?
I think it is. A little bit of a baa. Where's your baa sound effect? Chime is disgusted with New England Patriots fans. I'm basing this on his lead, who are happy about Josh McDaniels as the new offensive coordinator. And the texter suggests that it is always guys like Shime it's always dorks. I'll read it verbatim. It's always dorks like Shime that want a guy who has never coached to be a head coach and a guy who's never called plays to be an OC.
Every coach at one point was a first-time head coach. I don't know. Kyle Shanahan's been to two Super Bowls. That's his first head coaching job. Sean McVay, first head coaching job, been to two Super Bowls, won one of them. Like, Zach Taylor even was a first-time head coach at one point. He's been to a Super Bowl. Like, so yeah. Dan Campbell, first-time head coach. His teams have been awesome the last few years.
And not to do your job for you, Shime, but Greg has voted for a guy twice who had never done the job he was running for.
That's true. There you go. Every guy has to be a first-time somewhere.
But something to be said when your whole organization is in disarray, as I think it is here, and you tried the experiment with a first-timer, and it's a difficult job to do. Something to be said for those who have experience, can roll into the building on day one, hit the new key card, and get to work.
And that's what Mike Vrabel brings, but like that, you shouldn't have to do that at every position on your staff.
He doesn't have to be hand-holding somebody, walking them through orientation.
Like, he shouldn't have to orientate an offensive coordinator either. Like, that's... That's why you hire him. That's why you go through an interview process.
Were you happy with Alex Van Pelt this past season?
No, not really.
Okay, that's a guy who had really never called plays before. I mean, that's what you got.
Greg, if we're being technical, he had called plays before 15 years ago.
Like one season.
But like he'd done the job before, and he stunk at it. Like there's guys who have done the job before and suck at it, but people give them the job because they've done it before. Like this dope wants you to do. Like it's silly. Like just because they've never actually called plays before doesn't mean they A, don't know how to do the job, and B, can't do it. Like it's just because it happened with Gerard Mayo, because your ownership screwed that up, doesn't mean it happens with every first-time head coach.
You think this is a Vrabel hire?
No.
McDaniels?
I mean, I think that the discussion was started by the Crafts and that he acquiesced and said yes.
Okay.
I would look at it like, real quick, I'm sure he has respect for the guy.
No, I would think they were together here for a long time. Right,
so.
But I would look at it like, why didn't he maybe try to hire him away from New England when he was in Tennessee? I would just ask that question, you know. Yeah. So that's why I wonder, is it a Vrabel thing or is it more of a Kraft thing?
I was just curious, Wiggs, if you think there's the potential that Mayo would still be here if they paid McDaniels last offseason as opposed to bringing in Van Pelt.
Yeah, I would say yes. That's a good point. That is a really good point because I would think that McDaniels would be more on Team Mayo and helping him through the process of a first-time head coach with some of the ins and outs and things that have happened.
Like, wouldn't McDaniels have helped Mayo far more than he's going to help Vrabel?
Yes.
Which is, I guess, a compliment to Vrabel, but in and of itself, it just really exposes the organization and how dumb it was to have a guy in Van Pelt in that role with the rookie quarterback.
Right. It would have been, and there would have been, I think, a smoother relationship between Mayo and McDaniels than there was between Mayo and Van Pelt, where I think if Mayo would have said, hey, we should start Drake May week one, Josh McDaniels would be like, you know what? We probably could. That's probably the best thing to do.
407 text. Best OC available brings experience and consistency to the organization.
If he was the best OC available, why did no other team on the planet want to touch him? If he's so good, why did he sit out of football for over a year? A year and a half, actually, because he got fired halfway through last season.
All right. Well, if you miss Shime's lead, he was geeked out. What did you say you were?
I crashed out.
Yeah.
So you can go back and listen to that as you can with anything else that has happened on this show on the Audacy app. That's AUDACY. And you can rewind and listen to Shime lose his mind over you sheep, as he referred to you people.
You should invite Drake May to your wedding.
I'd be happy to. if you could, Curtis, I will literally give you an invitation to hand to him when you're at Gillette one day.
Done.
I would be more than happy to.
They love me down there.
All right, let's get to this.
It's time for
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
Would not say that I'm Mona Lisa Vito of the football world.
They want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
Said it.
Wake up to Del Bambino and have me face him. Maybe I'll grill him in the eyes.
They said it.
I'm just going to say it.
What's up first this morning, Sean?
Well, Greg, first of all, Wiggy, in his lead today, mentioned possible targets for the New England Patriots in the offseason. Maybe there's another guy who becomes available in Cooper Kupp of the L.A. Rams. He technically has 2 years left in his contract, but there is a potential out this year that would leave the Rams with a lot of dead money. Here was Cooper Kupp on locker room cleanout day about his future.
Who knows what's going to happen? A lot of stuff's out of my control. We'll see what it's going to be. There was obviously stuff that was going on, like I said, early on in the season. And we'll see. I don't have any clarity on what that's going to look like or anything like that. So, obviously we'd love to be in L.A., but I don't know what that's going to look like.
Okay, Wiggy.
Mm-hmm.
I think I saw Kendrick Bourne adding him. At him,
okay,
on the social media saying, please come here.
Kendrick Bourne was active yesterday.
Yeah, so, I mean,
it would be my first choice, but I would take him.
He wouldn't?
No. Cooper Kupp, to me, he's going more of the direction of kind of like Adam Thielen. Like, he's a solid receiver, but he might be, I don't want to use the word wash, but he's not going to be the Cooper Kupp that we remember from, like, you know, what was it? 4 years ago.
So he's too old in your mind.
I would much rather go after like a DK Metcalf. If I had first choice, DK Metcalf, AJ Brown, I would go after those guys. If I could get like T. Higgins and Cooper Kupp, then, you know, or like, you know, if
now
I,
you're just being greedy.
Well, I mean, that's kind of what I would do with Cooper Kupp, right? Cooper Kupp is probably your 1B. I don't think he's your 1. So I would want...
He would be your one on this team.
On this team, yes. Yeah, but I would still think that you could get... If you are going to be in the trade market for receivers, wouldn't you rather go after A.J. Brown and DK?
Yes. All right, what's next, Shime?
Well, next, Greg, we'll stay in football here. Ryan Clark was on the Pivot podcast talking about Lamar Jackson's loss in the playoffs and whether it was actually on him or not. I know that's a topic we have discussed many times over a course of years here on this program. Here is what Ryan Clark said about Lamar Jackson.
When I was very vocal that I thought if Lamar lost as opposed to Josh, he'd get more criticism. Because there have been times where, in my opinion, Lamar Jackson has not shown up to stadiums in playoff games as Lamar Jackson. And he has to do more because you have to win. But damn, he showed up as Lamar Jackson. Damn, this loss ain't on him. And I get it. As it pertains to the legacy of the great ones, what you do in the playoffs matter. Josh Allen isn't talked about like Lamar Jackson because we watched Josh Allen go toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes, and Patrick Mahomes just had the ball last. That wasn't on him. But for Lamar Jackson, there's been this narrative, which is a fair narrative, that he hasn't shown up. But in the second half of that game, outside of the turnovers in the first, he did everything he was supposed to do, everything he was asked to do, to put the ball back in Josh Allen's hands and say, you got to go win it now.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like this, and I hear it a lot when we talk about great quarterbacks. It's not about that Lamar didn't cause them to lose or that he played poorly. In the rarefied air of Mahomes and Brady and those two in Montana, it's that you were the reason you won. And
he was not the reason. Well, they
even if Mark Andrews doesn't drop the ball in a ball that he absolutely should have caught.
Yeah, the argument that was not a well-thrown ball.
It's such
ball,
a stupid, like, that's dumb.
That's a Chris Sims take. What do you expect?
Give me a break.
Idiotic take. But it with that play, like, when you watched Patrick and Mahomes and Brady go toe-to-toe, it was you can't, not only do you have to get the game-winning score, you have to milk the clock simultaneously. And what the Ravens did there was give the ball back to Josh Allen if they get that 2-point conversion with a minute left, and they were going to lose anyway.
It was 90 seconds left.
But right. The problem is you can't compare these guys to Brady and Mahomes, yeah. Right? And I don't know about Ryan Clark. I mean, he played in the NFL, so yeah, I get it. Second half he was good, but in the first half he was trash, right?
He was so bad.
And part of...
So you put that on Lamar. You add that to the list, listen, when it comes to his lack of success in the playoffs.
Right. It's always going to be on the quarterback, especially when the quarterback has a first half that he doesn't play relatively well, but he plays good in the second half, they lose the game. Like Brady. Brady was trash in the Atlanta Super Bowl in the first half. Trash, but then picked it up in the second half. But the biggest difference is Patriots won that Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So when you, even with Josh Allen, I think until you get to the point, whether it's Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, because those are the next three guys, until they get to the point where they can beat Mahomes and get over that hump, unless you have a great game and Mahomes just outperforms you, then you go, okay, well, hey, Josh didn't make any mistakes. He didn't turn the football over. He had a great game. He had two touchdowns, all that good stuff. Mahomes and was just better on that day.
All right, what's next, Sean?
Well, Greg, let's go to basketball for a moment here. Scottie Pippen recently on a podcast, because there's not enough of those, as Curtis will tell you.
Are there more podcasts than residents of the United States?
A lot of podcasts.
Might be. And Pippen appeared on one, and he talked about his relationship with Michael Jordan.
Oh, not good.
Greg?
Not good.
Not great.
Not good.
Here was Scottie Pippen.
Michael is a very difficult person to deal with. I played with him for years, so I know that, you know, when it's time for you to move in your direction, then go in your direction. Don't sit there and try to procrastinate or stretch it. That the relationship is not where it was or not what it used to be, and it's never going to be the same. So why try and make something out of nothing, or try to make something that was never there. So, great teammate, but we just never were great friends.
Wow, that's kind of sad.
But that's how a lot of, you know, I mean, that's sports. You know, people just, their personalities are different. The way they maybe view the world, the way they approach things. I mean, I've played professional sports for a long time, and even in college, like, you just you're not always going to get along with people that you're teammates with.
It seems like it happens with Michael Jordan a lot, though. Like, doesn't he also have an issue with Charles Barkley? Like,
yeah, they were good friends.
And now they're not.
Right, but I think that was more of just the whole, the friendship fell apart with them on certain things that Charles said about Michael as a GM. And Michael was like, Michael's probably, it sounds like he's super sensitive, even though he's the greatest player of all time.
I think it's an ego thing for him.
Yeah, it's like, wait a second. And so I think, but with Pippen, who was an actual teammate, he probably was like, yo, Michael on the court, tremendous. But there were things that Michael did that rubbed me the wrong way as a teammate that I don't really F with him.
Outside of hockey, because Bobby Orr and Wayne Gretzky appear to be genuinely down-to-earth, normal goats, all other goats are just weird. Like Tiger Woods.
Would you include Tom Brady?
Totally.
Really?
Look at he doesn't even resemble himself. Like, yeah. He's been through God knows how much plastic surgery. He's like, did you see the video of him walking on the field? Was it at the Eagles game? He looked like he was Weekend at Brady. Like, he was so weird. I love the man.
But his personality, though, hasn't changed.
Right.
Like, that's the difference, right? Like,
with
Tom. Like, Tom is a hard ass, and he wants the best from himself, and he demands the best out of you. And all I'm going off of just the way Michael's former, some of his teammates were. Like, it seemed like Michael was an a-hole,
yeah.
Not just on the court, but even, like, in the locker room and off the court, where Tom was never like that.